The reading today is from Matthew 13, 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they did not see. Though hearing, they did not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Here ends the reading.
I'm kind of slightly biased, so I would like you, without me announcing it, to give those girls a round of applause. I know that Daniel has been slave driving you, practicing, and I just appreciate your desire to actually lead us in worship, and long may it continue. Thank you for that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We come before your word. So we pray by your mercy and grace that your word would indeed come off the page today and we would hear it. Speak, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we introduced our new sermon series that is simply entitled The Kingdom of Heaven is Like, in which we're going to study the parables of Jesus recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13. Now, why these particular parables? Well, I mentioned last week that Matthew 13 is the center of the entire gospel about Jesus that as Matthew has recorded it for us. Now, we can't be certain about that. That's unfair of me to say that in a way that's so, you know, categorically true, right? But Matthew didn't leave us a document that said, by the way, here's the structure of my gospel. But when you actually look at Matthew and you study it long enough, it's quite easy to see that there is a structure there. And I've laid out a particular structure that I'm particularly fond of in the back of the bulletins. And you can see that Matthew has structured his gospel, and there are five blocks of teaching within the gospel, what are called discourses. And when you look at those, you'll find that number one and number five are linked, the fact that they are teaching on the side of a mountain, the Mount of Beatitudes and the Mount of Olives. If you look at the second and the fourth blocks of teaching, you'll see that they are focused on Jesus teaching his people, his disciples, about what it means to be his disciples. He's sending them out in chapter 10 with a commission, and he's teaching them as a church what it's like to be a community of faith in chapter 18. So it's not hard to see then that the middle block of teaching, what we call Matthew chapter 13, kind of falls right in the middle. It's like a focal point, a focus of the entire gospel. So if it is the center of what Matthew's trying to teach, then what's he trying to teach? The answer to that is the kingdom of heaven. So why is the kingdom of heaven such a central theme in Matthew? Well, last week, hopefully we set the scene for that as we looked at the entire context. So briefly, for Israel, before the birth of Jesus, they had spent hundreds of years waiting, longing, praying for a particular person to come and save them, a person known as the Messiah. And I suggested last week that for them, that person would come and encompass three offices or functions within God's people, within the nation of Israel. The first two are prophet and priest. The prophet would speak the word of God over and to the people, and the priest would mediate their ongoing relationship with God, tell them what they needed to do in order to become right with God, in other words. Two very important functions. But the third function, perhaps, is the most important. The third aspect of what it means to be the Messiah is to be king. Because the Messiah would come and, to coin a phrase, make Israel great again. Right? The whole point is to come and make Israel into a nation that would never again be oppressed, invaded. It would last forever. It would flourish. It would be this mightiest nation the world had ever seen and ever will see. A king needed to come and establish his kingdom in order to do that. Matthew begins his gospel and says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus, meaning Savior, who is the Christ, i.e. Messiah, i.e. King. From the very first phrase in Matthew's gospel, he has introduced to us the fact that Jesus is this one that is to be the Messiah King. So if he is, we should be expecting from that point on that Matthew is going to tell us something about the kingdom that the king is going to establish. We don't have to wait for long. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, John the Baptist is arrested, he's put in prison, and Jesus steps into the public arena, so to speak, and begins his ministry. And this is what we're told. Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. This everlasting kingdom is right here, right now. Why? Because he is the king. The king has come near. Okay, so all good so far. But the big question that this posed that I mentioned last week is, from the perspective of all the people who were hearing this for the first time, did they expect the kingdom that Jesus was establishing, or did they expect some other type of kingdom? More than likely, they were expecting this mighty nation to be created. A mighty nation, right? Force, power, authority. What does Jesus start to do? The very first thing is he goes and he calls fishermen. Not mighty soldiers, fishermen. This everlasting stronghold which Jesus has come to inaugurate or establish is not going to be the sort of kingdom that everybody else thinks it should be. So what Matthew does is he sums up the work of Jesus using three words. He tells us in chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is teaching, goes around teaching about the kingdom, preaching the message of the kingdom, and healing people. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, without spending too much time in that, and I haven't done a huge amount of research on it, I wonder, in fact, if those three things, three parts of Jesus' ministry correspond to the three offices of the Messiah. Jesus as prophet preaches, and Jesus as priest mediates the ongoing relationship between the people and God. He heals them. If you remember when we studied Matthew chapters 8 and 9, it's not about physical healing. It's about making people whole again. Their ongoing relationships with each other, their ongoing relationships with themselves, their ongoing relationships with God. It's about making people completely whole. The work of a priest. So if there is some alignment between those first two offices, that would suggest that the Messiah as king is somehow connected with teaching. In very simple terms, we could be thinking that teaching about the kingdom, something to do with teaching about the kingdom of heaven, is some way connected with how the kingdom is established, how the kingdom comes. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Well, in chapter 13, at the very center of the gospel, according to Matthew, Jesus does indeed teach seven parables that begin with talking about the kingdom of heaven. I suggest that these parables are going to not only teach us something about the kingdom, they are going to teach us how the kingdom of heaven comes. Today we want to look at the parable of the sower, a very well-known parable, I'm sure. The parable sets the scene for the chapter. This parable sets the foundation for the kingdom of heaven. This parable lays the foundation work for the kingdom of heaven. How? Let's see. The first thing we want to notice, and I'm sure you heard it as Nicole Renee was reading, is the parable actually is given to us by Matthew in three sections. Section one is the parable itself, verses 1 to 9. Section 2 is verses 10 to 17. It's a response Jesus gives to the question, why do you speak in parables? And then section 3, verses 18 to 23, is what we call the explanation of the parable. I'm Irish, in case you hadn't noticed. So we're going to look at these three sections in reverse order. And you're kind of going, why? And all I can say is, trust me, right, at this stage. So we're going to start with section number 3, verse 18. First word, listen. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Listen. It is the key verb. This is the key command that Jesus is giving about his teaching. Listen. When anyone hears, the exact same verb comes again. When anyone listens to the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. So at the beginning of this explanation of the parable, there's this real focus on listening to what Jesus is actually saying. And then it's not hard to grasp the elements of the parable and how they're and what they are symbolic of. The seed that is sown by the sower is the message about the kingdom. It is the word message is really the word word. Are you confused? Right? It's just the word about the kingdom. Any words about the kingdom. Words about the kingdom are preaching and teaching about the kingdom. Anything that's about the kingdom, his teaching is what people should be listening to. What happens to the teaching? Well, the four types of soil describe a person's response to the teaching, the person's heart's response. Some people will hear the word, and as soon as they hear it, it is taken away from them. In a very kind of small kind of sense, they just reject it. They hear it, and they kind of shrug their shoulders and walk away. So they are closed to the word. Others, then, they hear the word, and they receive it with utter joy. What they are told is kind of like, this is awesome, right? Jesus died for me, and he's risen from the dead, and so I can have eternal life. Awesome. They receive it. And then things start to happen. And somebody in their family gets hurt, or there's a bus crash, or there's a natural disaster. Or things happen in life, and it doesn't match up with what they've been told. And so they get confused, and they don't like it. And so they let go of the word because they haven't gone any deeper than what that initial message was. And then there's those people that are cluttered, and we know far too many people whose lives are cluttered, don't we? Because life just gets full of so many things, wealth, desires, leisure activities, everything, that the word just becomes one of many things. But it doesn't take long for the word to get choked because their lives are so cluttered, and they too fall away. And then there's the cultivated. So we have people's hearts are closed, confused, cluttered, and then cultivated, those that hear it and understand it. Now, we as Christians, right, because we've come to church on this fine Sunday morning, to hear the word, so we tend to read this entire parable and jump right to the very end and say, thanks be to God, we are the good soil. Because we've heard it, we've professed it, we've accepted it. That's the explanation of this entire parable. Well, if it is, it implies this. Among other things, it implies that the kingdom of heaven does not transform people at all. Because what I've just explained, according to, if we are the good soil, it means all that has happened is the kingdom of heaven has identified good people. Those that hear words and understand them. That's it. Surely there must be more. There is, of course there is. Because Jesus says the seed falls and produces a crop. Now, to understand that, let's go back to section 2. The middle section. Why, Jesus, are you speaking in parables? And the first part of his response, I find, could be seen to be quite confusing. Jesus says to the disciples, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever has will be given more. And you've got the secrets of the kingdom. Well, what do disciples have that other people don't have? What do those who clearly have not rejected the teaching about Jesus' kingdom, what do they have that others clearly don't have? Well, the simple answer is understanding. Right? I don't know whether you heard it as Nicole Renee was reading this entire story, but the number of times we hear the words like listen and hear and knowledge and understanding permeate all 23 verses. But in this section, we hear the word understand, understood, three times of why he speaks in parables. Is knowledge the key to Jesus' kingdom then? Just knowing about the kingdom. Well, Jesus says, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, and he says, you will hear but never understand. Right? So the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? Savior of the world, is going to teach something to people they will hear but not understand. Why? Why not? You ever thought, it does sound like a bit of a redundant question, right? We kind of jump over it too quickly. But think about it. Jesus has taught the parable, and then he goes on and he explains the parable. People are clearly hearing it. And unless Jesus is a very poor teacher, which he's not, surely they must be understanding what he's saying. Well, then, the obvious go-to position then is, oh, of course they understand the parable, but they don't understand the deeper meaning behind the parable. Oh, the secret bit that goes deeper. Because good soil relates to clever people like you and me because we're good at solving puzzles. Because Jesus has taught a puzzle. That's what's behind all of this. He's throwing out puzzles to people that they will struggle with, but only the clever, brainy ones will be able to understand the puzzle. That makes no sense whatsoever. So we have to ask, what do we mean by this term understand? It is key to understanding what's behind this word understanding in terms of all of these parables. Jesus quotes from Isaiah, and he uses it to explain what he means. Because he says, those that hear and understand with their hearts, they will turn and they will be healed. The word understanding does not merely mean that these people are going to end up with a deeper knowledge of something, but these people who understand will actually respond to their understanding. Funnily enough, when Jesus announced the kingdom, he said, repent. The very first word about the kingdom was a word that calls for a change, a transformation, a turning around, a new way of life. Understanding requires a life response. That's why in Mark's telling of the parable of the sower, he uses the word accept, right? The word accept is like, the meaning behind it is when somebody knocks on your door and you open your front door and they've arrived, what do? You don't just leave them there, you invite them in and you're hospitable to them. Your life kind of changes at the point they knock the door because you invite them in and now you serve them. You have responded to them because you've accepted them into your home. Acceptance requires a response. Understanding the message of the kingdom goes way beyond merely knowing about the kingdom. Understanding must lead to a deep response, must lead to action. Well, now we're getting somewhere. Jesus is not merely teaching us words so that we can become clever people, right? His teaching is calling for a response. That's why I like Dale Bruner's commentary on Matthew, because at this point, he would say that when you see the word understand, you should turn it and use the phrase stand under. The good soil is good soil because they stand under and they produce a crop. Good soil is not good just because they've gained knowledge, but because they have stood under the teaching and responded to the teaching. Okay, but what's the response? One more step to take. Go back to section number one. Listen very carefully to how Matthew begins, not merely the parable, but the entire chapter. The center of his entire gospel about the king begins with these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. That's it, right there. Did we understand it? that same day. Read back, as we looked at last week, the previous couple of chapters, people have been outright rejecting Jesus' kingdom. They've been challenging. John the Baptist sends his disciples and said, "Are you the one, or should we expect another?" The teachers of the law and the synagogue, they are challenging Jesus and almost saying, "You're from Beelzebub." They are rejecting everything about the kingdom. On the same day that everyone's rejecting the kingdom of heaven, on that very same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat by the lake. Why is that important? Why bother to tell us that? Why is that a phrase that we would just tend to read over and go, "Well, that's interesting. Maybe. Worthless. Don't know." Why is Matthew telling us? Matthew's announced, told us that Jesus announced the establishment of his kingdom. And the very first thing Jesus did was he went to a lake and called fishermen. "Come, follow me at the Sea of Galilee, Lake Galilee, and I will send you out to fish for other people." Why, Jesus? Because that's what the kingdom of heaven's all about. The kingdom of heaven is about catching other people up in this kingdom. So, in the center of all of this, Jesus leaves the house. He's been in the house, the synagogue, the place where he's been teaching and having this interaction with the religious leaders. Jesus leaves the church building and he goes to the lake. Why? Why did he not go to Starbucks? Actually, he did. He did. He goes to where the people are. Because those that need to be caught are not in the church. If you want to catch people like fish, you have to go to the lake. The people are at the lake. The people are at Starbucks. The people are outside the building. It's the basic principle about the kingdom of heaven. Do we understand that? Are we willing to stand under that? Because if we are, then we can read on. And only then. If we have not grasped this first phrase, we're stuck. But if we understand, then Matthew records Jesus saying, in the NIV it says, a farmer went out to sow seed. A more literal translation really is, quite simply, a sower went out to sow seed. That's it. Okay, so that's as far as we're going to go. A sower went out to sow seed. Again, the same question. Do we understand what we've just heard? Growing up in Northern Ireland, I was surrounded by farmers, but we didn't farm, right? But I'm guessing that farmers do loads of things. No matter what sort of farm you have, there are loads of jobs that a farmer does. However, this is not just a job that a farmer does. What Matthew is saying, Jesus says, is a sower went out to sow seed. What's the difference? Because a sower doesn't do anything else except sow seed. That's it. A farmer does loads of things, one of which may well be sowing. But we're told by Jesus the sower goes out to sow seed. The kingdom of heaven, which is all about catching other people, begins with a sower sowing seed. Just in case we missed it, Jesus describes the sowing, scattering seeds along the path, among the rocks, in the midst of thorns, and on good fertile ground. The image of the sower is just this indiscriminate sowing. Just wherever the sower's going, sowing seeds, and whatever she's doing, sow seeds, sow seeds, sow seeds, because that's what a sower does. Well, what happens to all the seeds when they are sown? Well, that's the rest of the parable. But the first and foremost thing that we're being taught is a sower sows seeds. The kingdom of heaven begins with a sower sowing seeds. And so the obvious question, who is the sower? And for once, it might be the first time ever, I think the Sunday school answer is wrong. I don't think the sower is Jesus. The sower is the one in the parable who stands under the teaching about the kingdom. The sower in the parable is the person who has heard the teaching, understands it, and responds to it. The sower is you and me. We're the ones who are supposed to be sowing seeds. Do you know if Ross was here right now, he'd stand up and he'd go, "Amen, brother, preach it." And he would turn and he'd go, "Just in case you miss it, people, he's talking about evangelism." Amen. That's what this is about. That's what Jesus did with his disciples in chapter 10. The kingdom of heaven is about us commissioned as sowers to sow seed. How are we doing? How are we doing at sowing those seeds? We heard from the explanation to the parable that the seeds were words of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, teachings about the kingdom. I would argue the seeds are anything and everything that relates to the kingdom. Anything and everything, better yet, that relates to the king. Anything that has been previously taught. Anything that comes after. Go back to the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, where we are encouraged to develop as these Christian people. Completely different character, because we're now being taught to become like little Christs. The words about the kingdom involve a lot of stuff. But the key is, somehow teaching about the kingdom, sharing words about the kingdom, teaching others about the kingdom, somehow all of that is connected with the establishment of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven begins with sowers going out and sowing seed, sowers going out and standing under the king, sowers that go out and stand under the teaching of the king. How are we doing at sowing the seeds? Faith has become far too private in our world, far too private. Faith seems to be, it's something about me and God. It's my relationship with Jesus. The funny thing is, that's not what the kingdom of heaven is described as here. We cannot read that. There's no interpretation of that. Because the sower goes out and sows seeds publicly, all over the place, everywhere. Because the basic premise is, if the sower does not sow the seeds, no one hears. We're back to the same problem we had at Easter weekend. How does the person that Jane knows know that to come to know the difference between Good Friday and Easter Sunday? That person needs a sower to sow a seed. How are we doing at sowing seeds? Lord, my head just wants to ask for forgiveness. Why have we overcomplicated things? Why have we been so tempted to hear a part of the gospel and receive it and accept it and do nothing with it? Why are we so content to be like the third servant in the parable of the talents that just buries the talent. Lord, by your mercy and grace, as we continue this journey through chapter 13 of Matthew, as we sit at your feet, as we gather at the side of the lake, and just imagine how full the lake is with fish. What does it mean for us to be taught to go and sow seeds? Lord, help us to understand. More than that, Lord, help us to come to that point where we stand under and respond. And that we will indeed sow seeds like never before. Lord, we love this parable. We all of us, I'm sure, love this parable. And yet, it's so easy to miss it. And each of the four soils, the only way that the four soils were able to respond was because a seed was sown. A word was spoken. They heard it. Help us, Lord. Today, and this week, and the weeks that lie ahead, to stand under your teaching like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.